Welcome to the Wine and Wipes podcast, a place where new moms share their experience and new dads can listen in to learn what your partner may not be telling you. With 5 questions, you will learn what is going great and what she truly needs from her partner to feel supported. All with your host, Greg Coral, results coach, author of The Gifted Storyteller, school principal, and oh yeah, he's a dad too.
Greetings, parents, and I hope you are having a fantastic day. Welcome to the premiere episode of the Wine and Wipes podcast. The purpose of the Wine and Wipes podcast is to give new moms a home and a place they can listen to what other new moms have experienced in the first 1 to 4 years of becoming a mom. All our moms have children under 4, so the information and experience is relevant. Why am I doing this? My second book, the sequel to The Gifted Storyteller, focuses on the experience of preparing yourself to have a child and what changes life brings as a result. As people always say, there is no guidebook. And while that's true, we can collect the stories and journeys of new moms for 2 major purposes. First, so new moms have a place to listen and connect with others who are going through what they are going through, the highs and lows, as well as what strategies they've learned that have made their lives easier. The second reason touches home with me a little more personally. It's for new dads to understand what women go through as they transition to becoming a mom. Oftentimes, and I can speak from my own personal experience, while guys think they know, we have absolutely no clue. I'm a school principal with a background in psychology, and still it wasn't enough. My having no clue led to a very difficult time in my marriage, and while we were able to transcend that period, it took a lot of work, openness, and willingness to listen, especially on my end. So this is my gift to the men out there, the soon-to-be and new dads, and those of you who are already dads, because here you can listen into what women are asking for and simply use their shared honesty and take next steps in your relationship. As I've already interviewed a dozen women, there are very clear patterns of asks from their partner. All you have to do is listen and learn, and then take some action. Today's guest is Crystal Chong. Crystal is an entrepreneur, author, and motivational speaker. She's a holistic anxiety specialist and the founder of Anxiety Schmanxiety. And she is a mom of a 2-year-old son. Let's welcome Crystal.
Welcome to the Wine and Wipes podcast, and thank you for taking the time to help out new parents on their journey. Why don't you start by telling us a little about yourself? What is your name? What do you do for a living? And how many kids do you have and their ages?
All right. Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me. And hello to all the parents that are listening. And it's an exciting, daunting journey. So I love that Greg is doing this. And I'm happy that you're here. So I'm Crystal Chong. I'm a holistic anxiety specialist and the founder of Anxiety Schmanxiety. And I have 1 child, a boy, and he's almost 2.
Fun times ahead.
It's been fun times so far.
Right, I can imagine. Well, let's start with the great stuff. So what would you say is the biggest joy about being a mom?
I think one thing is that, you know, I've always had a very good relationship with my husband. And I don't know, it made us feel like a family. Like, we kind of felt family before, but this just made it like, you know how you feel like a family with your family that you grew up with?
Yeah.
I think having a child just made us feel not just like husband and wife, but that kind of family like you have with your siblings and your parents. And that's been a beautiful part of our relationship, to just feel like that unit. Just gives you a sense of company in life. I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
I think another thing that's been great is specifically with, you know, our relationship with our child is just watching him develop, like seeing every day you discover something new about him. And it's fun to see, oh, you realize that he has this personality trait, or he's like this, or it's amazing to see that he's so funny, and this is going to be tough because he's not very patient, or like just to discover him. It's like a constant unfolding that happens every day. So that's been beautiful.
I've actually always said my daughter is like my greatest teacher in life, because
that's true.
Any button that can be pushed in any way, shape, or form, she will challenge.
Yeah, well, I'm not patient, and my son is not patient, so I am learning some patience, because even if your child is patient, as a parent, you're going to learn some patience for sure.
I actually find that with a lot of moms who are specifically before their mothers, who are the type of women that are planners and like to be organized and like to have structure, mm-hmm. this is one of the hugest lessons for them.
Truth. Hashtag truth.
So in these 2 years, have you found any specific routines that have made your life easier, whether it's a bedtime routine or a diaper bag, any type of life baby hack, so to speak?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I'm a type A person and I work with a lot of type A people. And also I work in the wellness space, and good night's sleep is such an important factor of just feeling your best. But particularly for me, and particularly with people who have a tendency toward anxiety, or just moodiness. And I knew that that was going to be a challenge coming in, because everyone says, oh, you're never going to sleep again. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do everything possible to make sure that that doesn't happen. And I think one of the biggest tips for me that was a game changer in our journey was this book called 12 by 12, which is good mm-hmm. for type A's, because it sort of helps you to figure out how to, like, it's a feeding schedule that helps the baby get on a sleeping schedule. But our son was sleeping 12 hours at night when he was 8 weeks old, and every
oh, wow.
single night he sleeps 12 hours, sometimes maybe 11, but
you won the lottery. Just...
But you know what, I'm in a mom's group, and everyone who follows that system, their child ends up sleeping like that. So I think and I totally get why some people don't want to be in a schedule, and I think that doesn't feel right for you, and you just want to do the whole maternal mom go with the flow thing. That's also really beautiful, that has its benefits of just I think there's more of a connection that happens when you're not as structured, to be honest. But I think that for us, we just knew that if we weren't getting sleep, like, the whole thing was just going to be also smart. So
totally understand.
I'm so happy. And I think it's good for him too. I see him flourishing because he gets a lot of sleep. And I mean, even at night when it's like at 7 o'clock, he'll get up and go to stairs and tell us to come upstairs to put him to bed, because he knows his routine so well. So mm-hmm. That's been the best tip for me.
We actually followed pieces of that book too. And we had the strict bedtime every night, and that really helped with the structure piece for us
yeah.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you on that. But the good news is you will sleep again. I'm just going to let you know, because I did hit that threshold at around 4 or 5, somewhere around there. The mm-hmm. key is, you don't ever sleep the same again. It's like mm-hmm. you don't get that sound, deep sleep
yeah.
because it's always kind of one ear, one eye open type
mm-hmm.
of thing.
That's true.
Yep, but you will sleep.
Still something I'm adjusting to.
Yeah,
that, like one
imagine.
Eye sleep.
And in terms of your family or mm-hmm. his family, did you have any challenges with family or even friends in regards to your parenting choices and style? Did anyone kind of pressure you to do things the way they did it? And how did you deal with that?
I think there was two things. One is, you know, I'm from Jamaica. My husband's Norwegian. And I'm Chinese-Jamaican, so my family has that, like, element of Chinese background. But the point is just that we live in New York, and so we didn't have a lot of family around. And so, actually, that was a tough thing for us, just kind of. And my husband and I are not very, like, baby people. We were never the people who were like, oh, babies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a lot, and it's been a lot to sort of figure out on your own. And I noticed, evolutionarily speaking, you know, it's helpful to be with other families. You even learn what to do. So I try to go home a lot, which is, you know, it's not as easy as if your parents were 2 hours away or something like that. But when
right.
I do, and he spends time with his cousins, I see what people are doing with their kids. I find that's a really great way to learn, you know, and also it's just a lot easier because he's just playing with the kids and you can just chill. So that's been great. But I did find a lot of judgment came from other moms, which
mm-hmm.
was pretty tough, because when you're becoming a first time parent, you have no clue, man. Like, it's like next level no clue what's going on. And so the learning curve is so steep, and you can really overthink things because the decisions you're making are big deals, you know? So I would ask a lot of advice from people, and I think different parents just have different styles. It's just like someone's a Republican and someone's like liberal. Like, it's not like necessarily right or wrong. It's just different types of people. I think when people try to push their opinion on you, if you're not that type of person, if you do what they're doing, it's not going to work for you. So I think it's really important to just recognize that, you know, like, people are going to have different suggestions, but please don't feel pressured to do anything because it's a popular theory. Like, it has to feel like something that feels good to you intuitively to do. And that will be right. The right thing, you know?
Actually, it's perfect to ask you, since you're an anxiety coach, how how would you encourage somebody who is being pressured by an in-law or a relative, and they're kind of saying, well, I did it this way, or I raised you, or any of those type of comments, and the person feels pressured or gets anxious as a result, how would you help them stand their guard?
So I think it depends on the type of person. Some people you can have a conversation with and like, you can get through to that person. And I think if that's the case, it's really good to, like, I had that with my mom. My mom was a very much like baby person. The baby slept with her. She didn't believe in schedules. And that affected me because I didn't grow up with a lot of discipline and I always wished that I did. So that was something I knew I didn't want to do. And, you know, I know that she thought that what I was doing was rigid, and I get why people think that about the scheduling. But I just said to her, I was like, Mom, you know, there's so many great things that you did for us. You know, you gave us so much unconditional love. Like, you start with just saying everything that was right. And then you could say, but there's some things that I have to do differently because, you know, I know that for me, it wasn't good to not have that much discipline. That's something I really want for my child. And she could understand that. So I think if it's someone that you can get through to, talking to them with kindness first, like letting them realize that you appreciate and value them and their advice. And then explaining what you're thinking can be helpful to disarm that conversation. But some people are just not going to listen to that. You know what I mean? There's just different types of personality types. And if the person isn't going to listen to reason, just sort of ignore them and just like, just do what you want. You know what I mean? Just be like, okay. And then just do whatever you want. But it doesn't have to be argumentative, you know?
Excellent point. And I like that you gave kind of simple form to acknowledge and then kind of stand your ground. You know, so the other person doesn't feel disregarded. But you're right. There are certain people who are pushy, and at some point you have to say, here's the line, and that's it. This is the way it's going to be.
Yeah. And I think it's nice to, like, get into, like, an argument, because that just causes more tension. You can literally just be like, okay, cool, thanks. The person doesn't have to know that you're not going to do it. They might see that you don't do it later on, and then you're just like, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also, and it does take time to sort of have that conversation, like what I explained to my mom. But it's just like with every relationship. Once you sort of have like those harder conversations, it doesn't have to be hard, but those conversations that take more energy, then it becomes easier after that, because she then just starts to realize, oh, okay, this is her parenting style. So I'm not going to push these things on her, because that's just not her personality, so that you don't have to have those conversations later on, and it creates a relationship that has just more of a sense of ease, because you guys understand we're different, but we understand why and you appreciate it.
Very well stated. Thank you so much.
Cool.
What are 2 to 3 qualities you love about your partner, or if there were certain things you wish your partner did do for you, what would those be?
Okay, so I think, let's say, 3 things I love about my partner.
Just to put a pin in this, in terms of, think back to when you were pregnant also and when you first had the baby, because now you're a little further into the experience.
Yeah. So, I think that there's a lot of fear around what's going to happen to your relationship when a baby comes, just because everyone's heard scary stories. You know, there's a lot that changes for a woman in terms of your body, in terms of like, it's a big thing that happens in your life, your identity, you know, like your mental space. You don't have as much mental space. You don't have as much energy. So it's a huge transition for a woman. And I think that can lend to a lot of insecurity sometimes, or quite often. And I was worried that, you know, he might feel differently about me because, you know, maybe it would change some of the things that he loved about me. But I think that one of the things I love about him was it didn't. You know, like, even though, you know, I gained like 50 pounds and I was pregnant, and I, you know, like, obviously, like, you should definitely keep the shape for yourself. You know, like, the fact is, I don't look like I did before I had my baby, you know, like, wrinkles on my face. I feel very supported by him. I feel like somehow he loves me more, even though that physical aspect is different. And that has created a bond that's been stronger for us. So that was one thing. I think that the thing that dads should know too is You know, my husband's always, one of the qualities I love about him is that he's very reliable and responsible. If he says he's going to do something, he does it. And I think especially when you're a mom, like, that's just a quality in a partner that is so much value, because there's a big burden on you, you know, like there's so much that only you can do. And it's heavy, and you're figuring out a lot emotionally, hormonally, life-wise, time-wise, wise, it's so much. And if your partner can be there for you, like just emotionally there for you, available for you, just help out, like he would, you know, clean all the bottle parts. He would just try and do everything he could, to just sort of help. You feel really supported. And then that makes your connection also just feel strong. Like you also just feel, more loving towards that person. I know that if a husband is not as responsible and is not as involved, then that can lead to like resentment, which I can completely understand too. But fortunately that didn't happen for us in that case. So that's two things. I think just to have a rounded discussion, two things that he could do better, and I think that this is probably a good conversation for dads listening in. You know, it is a lot of people, so some people, the baby is born, and both parents are like, oh my God, my heart has exploded. I've never loved anyone more in my life. And honestly, that is wonderful. But for a lot of people, that doesn't happen. You know, we had a traumatic birth, so we had some things happen when the baby was being born that was very hard for us. And we don't know if that's what sort of prevented that immediate connection from happening, or if we were just never baby people. And that's been something that has been challenging for us to face during the process, because we love our child, we want to protect our child, we're happy we have a family, but the connection wasn't there immediately. And we sort of felt guilty, and we felt like something was wrong with us. And and to be completely honest, it can be challenging doing as much as you have to do for a baby without that connection. You know, it just sort of feels like you're a slave. I mean, probably even if you do have the connection, you feel that way. But something that we've come to terms with, which I think gives a sense of peace, so if anyone is going through that listening in, is we realize that we're not baby people. And unfortunately, like, you know, maybe one person is your baby person, so that's good, but both of us are not baby people, which I think particularly for me has been hard as a woman, because usually the mother is more maternal. But the thing that's giving us a sense of peace with that is that we realize, you know, even as he gets older and we're able to talk to him, we're going to be really good with him when he's older. Like, even as he just gets, you know, like, gets older. Like, my mom was a really amazing baby person. You know, she has four kids. She's a business person, too, so she was always, like, working. She wasn't just a mom. So it's not like she just had the time, but she would just love babies. But now that we're older, I think the relationship is more difficult for her to maintain with us as the child becomes a friend. And that's something we're working through, but that's something that my husband and I know, like, we're just going to have an amazing, like, experience with. So if you're feeling bad about, you know, not having an immediate connection, like, a lot of times it's because you need a lot of, like, mental stimulation, and a baby not necessarily able to give that to you. But as they grow older, they will be, and then you'll be able to have that much more of a meaningful connection with them. So it's not so bad. It's going to be great, especially as as the baby gets older.
Great points, and thank you for sharing that, because people don't usually talk about that. That, yeah, there's supposed to be this pow moment when you deliver, and it's not that way for everybody necessarily.
Yeah, it's a big thing, and I'm really glad that people don't talk about it, because it really makes you feel like a terrible person, you know?
You question what's wrong with me type of thing. So it's great that you're bringing this to the forefront, so thank you. And just finishing up, what advice would you give a soon-to-be mom, and what advice would you give a soon-to-be dad?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just impossible to answer that question quickly, but I think if I was to say one thing, for moms, I would say, you know, like, I'm obsessed with evolution, because I think it explains a lot about the way that we are, especially being in my line of work, but I think for moms, it's important to know that we live in a time now where we do a lot on our own. You know, we have a, you know, but we, evolutionarily speaking, we wouldn't have survived if that was the case. In so many ways, you know, that applies to anxiety too, but especially as moms, like, birthing a human baby requires so much more maintenance than other animals in the animal kingdom. And that's why humans only survive in packs, you know, but we live by ourselves now. So one thing that I think I did that was critical for my journey is, When I first had my baby, I had postpartum depression, and I, you know, wanted to, and, you know, my postpartum depression, my postpartum anxiety helped me on my journey with my work with anxiety. So anything that comes up, you can use it to make you better and to make you grow, right? But it led me to seeing a counselor, and she suggested this mom group. And I joined this mom group, and, you know, like, it's just been the most incredible experience to be able to go through the same things with other people. Just that sort of community, that sense of information shared, this is happening, what should I do, I did this, like, that was the best thing. And so that was an in-person mom group, which is really helpful. But even if you can't do that, there's other mom groups on Facebook. So if you just go mom group in your neighborhood, and you find that, even now, if my baby's having a sleep issue, I post in there and other moms share. That was really helpful just in terms of resourcefulness. But just that connection, like, even now, we still meet up, like, you know, once a month to just catch up. And it's just a bond that makes the experience feel more supporting and creates beautiful friendships. And it's cool because your kid has all these friends his age. Mm-hmm. So that's for moms. I would say that. Okay. I would also say, like, just know that your whole life is going to blow up in a way that nobody could explain. And it's going to be hard for sure. But it's just important to remember that every time it's hard, one, be gentle with yourself. It's like that for everyone. All those people who are posting perfect pictures, they're having the hardest time too. Like, it's so hard. But if you just keep refocusing, and this is what changed the game for me with postpartum anxiety, just keep refocusing on what you want instead of what you don't want. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not sleeping. Well, I want to be able to sleep. Okay, what can I try to make myself sleep? You know, I don't feel good about this. So what can I do to make myself feel good? Just keep focusing on that. And not only will that help you find happiness, and that will help you fall into your place as a mom, but you'll also grow so much from the journey instead of be a victim of it. So that's what I'd say for moms. For dads, what I would say is, it's just accept that you're never going to understand what your wife is going through. And no matter the hardest thing you could possibly imagine going through, you still won't be able to understand it. And what she needs is that sense of compassion from you, to know that, like, for you to just say to her, like, I get it, you know, like, I'll never be able to understand what you're going through. So that, one, mm-hmm. she feels recognized. She's going through this, and you appreciate that. And I think just constantly trying to be as supportive as possible with all the little things, you know. I remember when I came back from the hospital, my husband got me this card, and he was like, he said something like, you're my warrior queen, because we had a very difficult birth. And it was just one of the most memorable moments. So even when it's tough, the things that you can think of to do to be supportive can help you build a much stronger, beautiful relationship with your wife. And I think, please, just be patient with her. You have no idea what she's going through. And she needs patience, and she needs love, and she needs support and understanding. And if you give her that, that will help her bloom back into a person that makes the relationship wonderful again. And if you're hard on her, then that will prevent her from doing that. So that's the best thing you can do for her and for yourself and for your relationship and for your family.
Wow. That's brilliant advice and so spot on.
And, you know, I just want to say, I really have to acknowledge the dads that are listening into this. A lot of times, men don't necessarily seek help. Most of my clients are, like, 90% women, you know. And because men are not allowed to have these emotional conversations. You're not allowed to have feelings about things. You're just supposed to be strong and get shit done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's completely, like, irrational and, illogical. And if you actually recognize the feelings that you're having, you let them be there and you work through them, then you're actually able to be strong and get things done more effectively. So I just want to commend you for going against the unfortunate public narrative of, you know, difficult emotions and looking for a solution. And I just want to send you so much love, because I know that you're doing it for your family and for your wife. And that's really beautiful and wonderful. And I really wish that there were more men like you in the world.
Very cool. And
so
actually, just
being a great example. Yeah.
No, it's true, because then that's something that's a kind of caveat for a moment, because it's okay not to know. It's okay not to be certain. And remembering, and this is part of the course that I created for men, but who you're deciding to become in this moment, like you said, not the just get shit done type of person, but also maybe opening up in a different way or challenging yourself to experience life in a different way, you're becoming a model for your child.
Totally.
You're creating that expectation of what a man can be. To either a girl, to a boy, it doesn't matter, but you're creating an expectation that you can change, you can evolve, you can be part of this experience in so many ways. So using it as an opportunity to for yourself to grow, simultaneously, you're helping your child grow.
Totally, 100%.
Okay, Crystal, thank you so much for your time and just your wisdom today. I really appreciate it. And thank you.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
Truly my pleasure. Have an amazing rest of your day.
Okay, lots of love. Bye, everyone.
So happy to have had Crystal on the podcast. You can connect with Crystal on her website at crystalchong.com or on Instagram at crystalchong. Please visit wineandwipes.com to provide feedback on the podcast, request to be interviewed for the podcast, and connect both with me, Greg Coral, and my guests. You can also connect with me at greg@thegiftedstoryteller.com or on Instagram at thegiftedstoryteller. Remember, change happens when we take what we learned and then put it into action. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. See you soon for the next one.